Time for the Positive Chats podcast. And joining us once again, our good friend Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine. Michael, welcome back to the Positive Chats podcast. Always good to have you on, buddy.
Thank you, Tommy. It's great to be with you this morning, and hello, Toledo.
And we've been talking our last couple of conversations about Erasmus, the latest topic of Christian History Magazine, and this church father and his influence on the medieval church and during the time of the Reformation. And we've discussed a number of different things about him, but today one of the challenges or one of the accusations hurled against Erasmus was that he was a friend of the Anabaptists. Can you imagine such a thing, Michael?
I sure can.
So, first of all, why don't you just maybe real briefly just give us a real brief sketch of Erasmus, who he was and his influence, and then why was he accused of being a friend of the Anabaptists, and why was this such a scandalous accusation at that time?
I'll give that a shot. Those you've given me some very broad subjects here, but Erasmus is a fascinating character. He's probably one of the most denigrated characters of the time of Reformation. Everybody has either rejected him or talked with him with great interest. I take interest in him, and I think this is such a timely issue because he, being a student of what we call the classics, that is the Greek and the Roman writings, which of course both are pagan, we would call those traditions and those philosophies pagan today. He revived those traditions at the time of the Reformation. And everyone took them very seriously, and so he was reviled, for instance, by Martin Luther. And keep me on track here if I'm wavering from your question.
Okay, that was a big question, but
yeah, Martin Luther is famous for calling him a double-tongued imposter, a satanic schemer, and a triple great heretic. And he was, as far as Martin Luther was concerned. Both of them, by the way, were members of Augustinian orders that would make them Catholic monks. Different orders, slightly different. We probably won't need to go into those weeds right now.
No.
But Erasmus was a Catholic. But the reason that he's related to the Anabaptists is that he agreed with many of the ideas that the Anabaptists were bringing forward at the time of the Reformation. And most people at that time were unfamiliar with what we now refer to as the Anabaptists. These were people who adhered to a tradition and a line of Christian thought and ideas right from the early church, which is, as we have discussed many times, is a great interest of mine. I think there's a revival going on today to go back to the ideas of the early church and why we have gone so far away from them, because, of course, they were very close to the time of Christ and the apostles. But just to mention a couple of ideas, of course, the idea of baptism, the Catholic Church was sprinkling infants who had no understanding of what was going on. It was for the sake of godparents. It was basically a man-made ritual, an idea that came from Judaism, the thought of Judaism that how important the family was and how they needed to take care of and educate their youth. And so the Anabaptists were rebelling against that and thought that baptism was a personal decision that had to do with your relationship to your community, and that only mature adults who now had become born again and part of the Christian, this new tradition, Christian tradition that was evolving out of the Catholic Church, people responsible for their own belief, the ways that they had become believers. And by the way, the Anabaptists, I think we modern Americans would relate far more closely to the Anabaptist traditions and what they were doing, which included personal Bible study and a personal relationship with Jesus. That was unknown in the Catholic tradition at the time. It's hardly known today in Catholicism, contemporary Catholicism, and it's not encouraged by the established Catholic Church. So very, very interesting character and very interesting discussion of ideas and traditions in Christendom.
So both Martin Luther and Erasmus were basically reformers, right? They both looked at the Catholic Church of their day and recognized that there was a lot of corruption there. They both wanted to see the reformation of the church. Erasmus was one, he was willing to embrace Greek and Roman philosophy, you know, under the Augustinian belief that all truth is God's truth, and we can learn from that. I know he's big on education. We talked about that, I think, first time we talked about him, how big he was, that Christians should be learned people and they should study. So in many ways, I mean, he and Martin Luther agreed, but of course, you know, at this point when he was, and I think it's in the article in Christian History Magazine, you talk about how he believed that young people should be baptized again after they've been instructed in the faith, after they knew what was going on, basically advocating for believers' baptism,
right,
which would be a break from Martin Luther, who did not advocate that. And so kind of stilling him with the Anabaptists. So the Anabaptists, why were they so, I mean, you mentioned some of the things that they talked about, the need for personal Bible study, which Erasmus certainly would have agreed with. You know, the believer's baptism. Were there other things that caused the Anabaptists? Because, you know, people were like hunting them down and killing them. I mean, the Anabaptists were considered, you know, these terrible, terrible heretics. And like you said, we probably inherit more from their tradition than others. But what was seen so threatening to the established church and even the reformers by the Anabaptists? Because even the reformers were like, hey, these people are crazy.
Yes. And of course, that was a movement led by Ulrich Zwingli. He was stationed down in Zurich, Switzerland. There was this reform movement taking place. And the Anabaptists were really against it. I mean, they were persecuted, by the Catholics. They were persecuted by the reformers, including Zwingli, later Calvin, and also by Martin Luther and the movement that became Lutheranism. But the core ideas, I think, are basically three things. One is an emphasis on the way of salvation. Now, this drove Catholics crazy because to them, and this, of course, continues today in modern times, that, salvation is the Anabaptists were advocates that salvation was a personal decision. It was a personal experience and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Catholics refuted that and held up that it should be found through the church, that the church would bestow salvation, and that it was all about the church, not a personal relationship, and one should go to the priest, the local priest, to understand salvation and the Bible and all things Christian. So that was one issue. And, of course, the reformers were exploring this idea of personal salvation, personal relationship with Jesus. Another conflict was the, you know, basic thoughts about the difference between materialism and spiritualism. And this this is kind of difficult for us to understand today because we're no longer, I think, fighting that battle. We recognize these concepts. And today I would say that the emphasis, certainly in the evangelical church, is the spiritual aspects of the Bible. That is, the Bible is teaching us a spirituality and a relationship with Christ, as opposed to, you know, the church being a player on the scene of nations, that it be the ruler of nations, and that, you know, politics comes into that. Of the establishment of the Roman Catholic Church and its political power, its economic power, and so forth. So there was a contrast between what in the article is described as materialism as opposed to spiritualism. And then also the criticism of the medieval church. This is very interesting, and Erasmus was a leader in this. Along with Luther, they both criticized the lack of a true spiritual understanding of the Bible in the Catholic Church. And they also criticized the priests, who were very often uneducated, persecuting the common folk. In fact, you and I, back in those days, unless we were involved, we had a, you know, a role in the Catholic Church, the Church did not consider the common people Christians. They considered them, you know, children that they were trying to educate, and very rarely, in other words, you had to join the Church to be considered a Christian. Today, we don't have to do that. We don't have to join a church of any kind. Even evangelical church minimized actual church membership. So there's a conflict there that the Anabaptists were championing this idea of this personal relationship, and it was perhaps even more revolutionary than what Luther was occupied with, which was reforming the Catholic Church as opposed to, competing with the Catholic Church, if you might tolerate my putting it in that way.
So, Michael, it sounds like it's almost like a battle between, you know, the centralized control of the faith, where you have a very centralized church in the Catholic Church and kind of dominated top down. And then you had the kind of middle way with the reformers, who did away with some of that, you know, and made it a little decentralized, but still kept some of that central control. And then the Anabaptists, who completely decentralized control of the church and just put it in the hands of the people and the lay people. So it seems like it's like there's a continuum there between, are we going to have centralized control of the church and faith, or completely uncentralized control of church and faith, or something in the middle. And it seems like that's kind of the continuum that they were fighting, those three kind of different streams.
Yes, and we shouldn't ignore this particular article titled "Spiritual Father or Rejected Scholar," referring to Erasmus. We should not ignore the role of and the idea of idolatry within the Catholic Church. Because the Protestants wanted to get rid of those idols. They wanted to get rid of the statues inside the church, the worship of men and women who, alongside the Catholic Church, was putting them alongside Jesus and our Heavenly Father as deity, the Catholics were actually worshiping Mary. They were worshiping other saints in the church, and also, you know, building and making idols, which the Anabaptists and Martin Luther opposed. So that was a factor. Now, what's interesting, I think, also in this article, that the Anabaptists were fathers of religious movements that are very active in Ohio and Indiana and Minnesota, New York, Pennsylvania. These are the children, so to speak, of the Anabaptist movement, which are the Amish, the Mennonites, the Hutterites, and Brethren groups. These are denominations, Christian denominations, that today are actually, I think there's a tremendous revival among those groups. I refer to them as set-apart Christians. That is, they're mostly founded on holiness movements, as were the Anabaptists, and it was all about, again, the personal relationship with Jesus and personal revelation that people receive from reading the Bible. And so those movements, which are very popular in your part of the country, and you know, once you get out of the city, the culture, and I lived for several years in Indiana. The culture there, in the farmland, let's say, is very similar to the culture of medieval Europe, where people are in a relationship with the earth. And the teaching of the Bible, so much of the teaching of the Bible is agricultural mindset, worldview. And so you have Jesus teaching about the relevance of multiplications of the seed, which is in the fruit, is in the trees, and it's in the products of the earth. This sustains us. He talks about how, you know, where it came from. These are gifts given to us by the Father, by His creation, that actually sustain our bodies. And so this is a, you know, our relationship to the world about us, which is different than the Catholic worldview, which is all about the relationship with the church and an established institution. Very much had to do with city life, and so these traditions and these worldviews are still, we still see them at loggerheads, if you will, in today's modern life.
We're talking with Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine, and their latest issue is on Erasmus, but they've got all kinds of issues, and folks can access those, Michael, for free, and all kinds of great resources. So tell us about Christian History Magazine and how folks can get a hold of it.
Still going very, very strong. ChristianHistoryMagazine.org on the internet will give folks a reader so that they can turn the pages of this wonderful magazine and read it in its entirety. They can also subscribe. Yeah, by the way, you can only subscribe by donation, and those who support this ministry want people to know that if there's a financial issue, ignore the opportunities to donate, and a no-cost subscription, annual subscription, will be sent out. I love to hold this magazine in my hand. It's so beautifully illustrated. You can see all of that on the website as well. But there's just something special about being able to hold the magazine. And by the way, the magazine has become a mainstay in our colleges and universities as a resource. However, it's very readable. The articles are not hybrid or highfalutin theology. Very readable, articles about. And one thing I should mention, that each issue, by the way, is on one subject alone. So, gosh, we've had now four conversations, I think, on this wonderful issue because of the timing of it. Next issue is coming out very shortly, issue 145, and so we'll get on to other subjects. But you get a very thorough treatment of each issue, each topic that's brought up and explored by each issue. So you really get, the best of, I think it's an absolutely unique publication and a unique ministry, giving us a view of history, which is so needed today because, sadly, without knowing our history, we are repeating the mistakes of history. As we speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Michael, thank you so much. It's always great talking with you. Really appreciate your time. And we look forward to seeing
the next issue. God bless you. Looking forward to that. And God bless your wonderful audience.
All right. God bless, Michael. That's Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine, the latest issue on Erasmus, new issue coming out very soon, here on the Positive Chats podcast.